Me, my beloved Sheila. It is requested that I come first again on this morning. We have been called to conference in order that we might know how best to assist you. There is a lack of understanding in the functioning of our dimensional hierarchy. And my beloved brother and commander, Hatan, will explain this a bit later in depth so that it might be better understood. This message is for your use, my beloved Oberlin. But it is to be directed to that one whose physical consciousness on your plane is recognized as William Cudd. It is with great love that we come to share this day. The time upon our beloved earth grows critically short. There cannot be much further postponement of time to get our project underway. And we all have been patient long. Our dear beloved brother, William, is in gross confusion. He feels powerless. It is because he does not understand how, in your terms, the system works. He must know that he accepted our request to serve in this manner, and his commitment was an honorable one. He is being sidetracked by those things which he does not understand. It is with great compassion that we come to share I am the captain of this ship, in your earthly terms. And my course must not be altered. There are many, many things taking place within your Mother Earth, that which I have grown to love. time has been speeded beyond your ability to comprehend. It is time we give that dear one, William, greater assistance. But he must be willing to follow our instructions, for he has been misled in the teaching of how to request our intervention. I come first this day so that you one may know of the importance of these messages of this day. I hold you closely by my hand, and I will allow none of mine to fall over the precipice, although all my people walk upon the brink of that precipice. I will remain within this circle this morning while my beloved brother communicates with that one with him. You are wrapped in my love, my brothers, my dearest brethren. I am that one known as your brother, Jesus Sananda. Peace. Greetings, Oberly. Hatan here.
Greetings, Hatan.
Good morning in the light of our Radiant One, who shares with us this day. I am greatly honored by his presence. I have called upon you once in order that you might be the conduit by which I can give assistance more readily to that one who has asked, that one William. It is by his own free will that he may use or discard the input which will be given for him through you. We would wish that he would use the methods which I will outline for him. And as for you, Oberlie, and that little one, Dorma, I need to make clear some of the workings within our outer dimensions that are not fully understood by you one. It is not my realm of technicality, but I believe that I can make myself quite clear in how to proceed in order that these things might be accomplished, that must be accomplished in a more timely manner. William is an extremely devoted, believing entity, but his consciousness has for too long a period of time been conditioned to expect the negative instead of the positive, just as with the two of you. Regardless of what efforts you make on a conscious level, you still believe that the manifestations will not quite ever become perceived reality. Today, it has been agreed within our realms that you will be given what you would call a cram session, a crash course, if you will, and how best to utilize our assistance and how to open up so that we may assist. But it will require determination and some effort on the part of our dear William. Oberlie, you are to see to it that a clean, clear copy of Dorma's self-hypnosis tape and a clean, clear copy of that tape which we gave to her for meditation induction. William is to experience that self-hypnosis tape at least a minimum of 3 times. He is well advanced in the ability of relaxation. He needs to become familiar and at ease with that voice, this voice through which I speak. And then he must at least 2 times per day experience the meditation tape. It would be good if he curtailed some of his activities at that place called the Saddleback Inn. He places himself in the midst of such negative energies, such using energies that tend to seep and ooze from him. His very power. It is very frequently a sharing of nothingness, much discussion and much talk, much, in your terms, back patting, an erroneous boosting of egos, and then the fall always comes with the reality that it is not this way. William will understand that he has outgrown the need of this. He is being despicably used by those ones who gather and pretend their devotion. They are not devoted. They are leeches. They will betray him when another comes who can offer more. Beverly, please pause a moment. I wish to explain, and I will try to put this in words that would be easy for you to understand. Some you will already understand, but it will bear repeating if you have heard this before. It is important, William, that you understand there are entities, spirits, as they are most commonly conceived, and whether they are souls, as in the concept of that one Socrates, or whether they have some other form, the nature of which we cannot now describe for lack of data, it is immaterial. Something exists out there from you, out here where we are, which attempts to communicate with you, just as some of us in this dimension, although sometimes feeble in effort, attempt to communicate with you. It has been easier, we have found, for one to receive communications while in a state of rest. Your hypnotist would call it trance. It need not be trance, simply a state of total relaxation. Because when one is meditating on a conscious level, the consciousness sets the rules. And you cannot go beyond that conscious calculating, that censorship of the conscious mind. You must get beyond that. Therefore, you are to take the self-hypnosis training tape, which we are instructing overly to make sure is duplicated on both sides to hasten your transition into that state. You will not have to rewind your tape, simply turn it over, run it on fast forward, then turn it to the other side. If you have no tape recorder that is suitable, simply go and purchase one, an inexpensive one that has an automatic shutoff, so that you might drift into sleep without having to tend the machine. And we will touch you in your dream state more vividly than you can imagine. You are to utilize that tape a minimum of 3 times through so that you are familiar and comfortable with that presentation. Then you are to change. And in addition to, or singularly, use the meditation tape, which is also identical on both sides of the tape, to facilitate your simply turning it over when it reaches the end, or the next time you wish to go into meditation, so that it is always ready. It would be good if you had available to you 2 such recording devices. One with a small microphone, always with a clean tape, pushed to pause so that you might gather the microphone into your hand and speak, even in your sleep. It will rouse you enough to pick up your microphone, but you will forget in your consciousness. Therefore, you will need to make a recording of what we give to you. So you will need 2 quite inexpensive pieces of equipment. One to play the tape so that you might hear it. The other, one into which you can record. At this particular point, you have no second one to serve as the question asker. Therefore, it will be necessary that until such one is available, you be able to function in your aloneness. As you meditate prior to going into the state of relaxation and meditation, take a paper and mentally image what it is you require of us. There is a misconception that we simply look down and everything is spread before us as an open book. Even were that true, we would not assume to walk upon your free will. And you, my beloved brother, William, must be more careful. Those that you feel are in total trust often are not trustworthy. And as time goes by and as our communication with you grows, we will allow your inner knowledge to know which of those energies you should take exceptional care with your business. You will need to formalize some types of questions. You will need to mentally visualize these energies upon your plane with which we are to function or interwork. At this point, for instance, Oberle has come to us with a request that we participate, assist you, in closing some of your transactions. But we cannot do that because we do not know who we are to contact. You must find out more details, my brother, about your own transactions, or you may well be left with your hands quite empty. Require that those ones working within those transactions give you the proper information. This is not to cause you to mistrust. This is simply good business. It is our intention to always place at your disposal good business projects. We have sent many, many such projects into your attention. We are working with that one, John Jeffers. John has learned how to contact us in these higher dimensions. And he does so regularly. And the more regular be your contacts with us, the more rapidly we can move. Keep a daily appointment with your subconscious mind. It is an open channel to we in the higher dimensions. It's a formal meeting of the mind. And always the last thing in the evening, dwell upon these thoughts in a state of meditation. Put your concerns, your worries, and your cares aside. For I will tell you, my brother, you cannot one moment release these things to us and the next moment take them back and expect us to manifest those things you have requested. You must be trusting. And you must be credulous. And by just that, you make it easier for those we will call your friends to communicate with you. And believe me, my brother, you have those friends.
You said until you recognize those friends, I'm going to give you two.
I'm going to give you two. Two names, two labels that you may call into your meditation. These two are your guides. They work with you all of the time. You just do not understand that they are there. The one who is always with you is one called Jason. The other is called Soaring Eagle. And through these two, you can learn of your others. But these two, called into your consciousness, will be your link. Use them. Rely on them. Discuss everything with them. And as these ones communicate with you, after you receive their alleged messages, pick them apart, dissect them, and then decide at your leisure in a state of meditation whether or not the input deserves to be regarded as genuine communications. The sorting system will not be lengthy. You will know when the input is valid. But obviously, William, you must receive these messages before you can pick them to pieces. I'm going to discuss the working, etc., on my dimension. I am a map of the galactic fleet. I am a galactic commander. I come from a much higher dimension, as you come from a much higher dimension, but you have chosen to manifest on planet Earth at this critical time. And your awakening will take place, and you will understand the commitment you made. But I would talk about my own situation first, so that you might better understand how we in this dimension must function. This environment provides far more challenge than any you know of, and it also necessitates manipulation of creative materials that are nearly beyond your present comprehension. First, you must understand that no objective reality exists but that which is created by consciousness. Consciousness always creates form, and not the other way around. So my environment is a reality of existence created basically by myself and those others like me. And it represents the manifestation of our own development. Here we don't use permanent structures. This is not a city. It is not a town, for example, that in which I dwell. We're not off in empty space somewhere, and I do not mean to imply that. For one thing, we don't think of space as you Earthians. We form whatever particular images we want with which to surround ourselves. And those are created by our mental patterns. Actually, just exactly as your own physical reality is created in a perfect replica of your inner desires and thoughts, you simply do not understand that. You presume that objects exist independently of you, while not realizing that they are instead the manifestation of your own psychological self. We know that we form our own reality, and therefore we can do that with considerable joy and abandon. You would be extremely disoriented in my environment. It would appear to have no coherency to you. But we are aware of the inner laws that govern all materialization. And we can arrange night or day to manifest whatever it is that we desire. You see, all systems of reality are not physically oriented, and some are entirely unacquainted with physical form. They do not even relate to what you recognize and perceive as your reality. You form your own physical image at an unconscious level in more or less the same manner as we, but with some important differences. You do not realize that you are creating even your own physical body from moment to moment. And as each moment passes, the past one is as if it never existed. It is only a memory. But it is the memory of the happenings that cause one to function either negatively or positively. We have been able to change our forms and adjust our perceived realities, just as you can. Let us speak practically for a moment. We are more advanced in this dimension along those lines than are you. And when we create such forms, we do so with complete awareness. Now, I share my field of existence with others who have more or less the same challenges to meet, the same overall pattern of development. Some of these energies I've known, and others I have never known. We're able to communicate telepathically. But then again, think about that, William. Telepathy is the basis for your language. And without that telepathy, symbolism would be totally meaningless. In your present perceived reality, you feel relatively incompetent to handle present physical reality or to alter your environment, to affect and change your world. You feel somewhat at the mercy of conditions over which you seem to have no control. But you can learn to change your physical environment simply by learning to change and manipulate your subconscious or dream state environment. You must learn to control your mental images. You must place those mental images before you, and you must accompany those images by strong emotions regarding those images and what exactly it is you wish to precipitate or manifest. For these are blueprints. They are blueprints upon which a corresponding physical object or condition or event will, in your terms, appear or manifest in our terms. The intensity of a feeling or thought or mental image is, therefore, the most important element in determining its subsequent physical materialization. You must not waver in your intent. You must hold those thoughts long enough, William, so that we can grasp them before you can manifest anything of your conscious desires. It must match the soul desire. Your soul energy must also wish that manifestation. We do not work from the conscious requirements or requests of us, because the conscious mind does not have any idea what it wishes. And as I have told these two before, if we manifested what is requested of us by most ones in their conscious mind, we would have havoc, anarchy, and chaos, murder, rape, and pillage upon your planet, because the conscious mind inadvertently speaks vile and ridiculous things, requests unbelievably stupid items. Therefore, the conscious functioning mind must be in perfect harmony with the request from the soul intent. And when those two requirements are met, then we can function. The intensity actually is the core about which the electromagnetic energy units form. In your terms, the more intense the core, the sooner the physical materialization. And I might add, this would apply whether the mental image is a fearful one or a joyful one. To you, you see, it does not matter. Either can be produced. Therefore, you have a very important problem here. If your mind is highly intense and you think in vivid mental emotional images, these will be swiftly formed into physical events, so you must be careful. And if you're of a highly pessimistic nature, as you have become each time you pick up the phone and you do not have a schedule, it is simply reinforcing the negative response. You have, even if it is inadvertent, created the negative response on the other end of that telephone without even realizing it. You have given thoughts and feelings a potential negative matter, and they have been quite faithfully reproduced in your experience. It is a pattern which must be broken and can only be broken in that state of meditation. And believe me, we can do it, and we can do it rapidly. The more intense your imagination and inner experience, the more important it is that you realize the methods by which this inner experience becomes physical reality. Your thoughts and emotions begin their journey into physical actualization, forgive my tied up tongue, at the moment they are conceived in your mind. It is interesting to note here that in this particular state of meditation or trance, you will have become the, let us call it, the spirit energy of yourself. Now, the spirit has a consciousness, but the consciousness belongs to the spirit once you have departed the physical consciousness. And the two are never to be mistaken as being the same. The spirit may then turn its consciousness off and on. And by its nature, consciousness may flicker and fluctuate. But in the spirit form, it never does. In this state, as well as in the dream state, you learn, among other things, the ability to construct your own physical reality on a day-by-day basis. As a matter of fact, that is exactly what happens when you pass into your next dimensional state. In that state, you then learn how to construct your next physical lifetime. But the premise remains the same. You must never forget for an instant that your experience always, always follows your expectations. And I know, William, that you know these things. I am simply repeating them to you to bring them to the forefront of your consciousness so that you may intentionally set them aside in your state of meditation. I'm going to emphasize this one point again, so please hear me carefully. It is through the combination of thought, emotion, and desire which creates form, possesses energy, and is made up of energy, which then allows what you perceive as physical manifestation, whether it be objects, other energies, friendships, or in the case in point, the manifestation of funds, as you refer to money. Beloved Brother William, please don't misconstrue these words as either a lecture or an assumption that you are not already aware of these instructions. They are simply to remind. And if you would care to discuss